In Pennsylvania, students who attend cyber charter schools receive the same amount of funding as those who attend brick-and-mortar public schools. This is Multiple Choices, a Keystone Crossroads podcast that pulls back the curtain on issues of schools and money in Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Kevin McCrory, and today we're talking about the state's expansion into cyber education. Joining me is Paul Sokolar, publisher and editor of the Philadelphia Public School Notebook, as well as Dale Mezzacapa, contributing editor for the Notebook.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you, Kevin?
Great. So it's worth explaining here. What exactly do we mean by cyber school? Kids at home on a laptop in their pajamas?
That could very well be an accurate description. Yep. Kids are learning over the internet.
Okay. And cyber charters have received a lot of criticism over the years based both on fiscal integrity and funding streams and also academic performance. So what's going on there?
I think Pennsylvania is the most cyber charter friendly state in the country. I mean, it has
40,000 kids.
40,000 kids, which I guess is the second largest district in the state, because I think Pittsburgh is,
yeah.
So there's a lot of families that choose that option. It costs the state a whole lot of money.
$421 million, right, to be exact.
And so the way that works is, okay, so there's 14 cyber charters in Pennsylvania. A kid from anywhere in the state can go to any one of those. You know, even if the cyber is located, has its headquarters in Philly, a kid from Erie could be there, a kid from Reading, Pottstown, wherever. They all can go to that school. And the way the funding works is a little different, right?
The funding is based on what district the student is coming from. So cyber could be attracting students from many different districts, and each student is going to be paid for by that district based on the average per pupil spending in that district.
Just to give an example of that, if you got a kid who goes to a cyber school from Lower Merion and a kid who goes to a cyber school, same cyber school from Philadelphia, there's two completely different rates attached to those kids.
Right.
How does that make any sense, Paul?
I think it doesn't, and I think that's why there is agreement in Harrisburg on one thing, I think, which is that the system for funding cyber schools needs to be rethought.
So in his recent budget address, Governor Wolf proposed funding cyber charters across the state at a flat rate that would drastically reduce the overall funding that they receive. School districts would realize big savings from this, but obviously cyber charter proponents are up in arms. I recently visited 21st Century Cyber Charter, which has its headquarters in Downingtown in Chester County. And I should note, too, cyber charters can't really be painted with the same brush. Some enroll thousands of students and contract with for-profit curriculum providers. They spend lavishly on advertising. Others don't do those things. 21st Century Cyber is one of those. It has 850 students. It doesn't partner with a for-profit entity and was founded, in fact, by traditional public school intermediate units in the counties surrounding Philadelphia. Kim McCulley is the interim CEO there.
The Wolf budget plan is going to hurt us in ways I can't even predict right now. If that budget passes, we're going to either have to cut staff and programming, or we're going to have to increase our enrollment. We're going to have to double our enrollment. So we'll have to be much more aggressive about marketing and advertising.
So her point essentially is Wolf doesn't really get how much it actually costs to run a cyber charter. To her point, when he came up with his calculation for the flat rate, he analyzed the programs that are run by traditional school districts. Traditional school districts like Philadelphia have cyber programming now, and so he looked at the cyber program that's run by a district, not an independent cyber school. They say there's wildly different costs in here that he's not taking into account. Do they have a point when they say things like that?
Sounds reasonable. I mean, there are going to be some costs that are going to be different for a cyber that is freestanding from one that's housed in an intermediate unit, for sure. I think Wolf's basic point is, and this is kind of the starting point for his proposal, is that cybers have a totally different cost structure from what a traditional district school has. And he's put out a proposal that, you know, here's a flat rate, $5,950 per student. that would cover that cost. And I think we're hearing back from the cybers that he doesn't get it.
I kind of pressed Wolf recently when I talked to him. It was after I was at 21st Century Cyber. And I said, hey, here, this is what they're saying. What do you think about this? They say you've never visited a cyber school. You're comparing us to a program. It's not the same thing. This was his response.
I'm certainly willing to have a conversation if they want to push back. But 60% differential for all those things, I'm not sure how that works.
Do you think the governor's being fair here?
I don't think we have a clear sense of what the actual costs are. I think both sides probably ought to put their numbers on the table and let the legislature look it over.
You know, the attraction of cyber schools is people who feel that they don't live in a good school district, people who would be traditional homeschoolers, a lot for religious reasons, families whose kids have been bullied, kids who have professional careers.
Sure.
And there's a lot of turnover in cyber charters. And I think that one point we should make is that of all the cyber charter schools in Pennsylvania, none of them, I don't think, maybe one or two did in, you know, sporadically, have posted high achievement numbers, have met the state standards. And yet that particular point about them, and one can make the argument that because their purpose is somewhat different, I guess. I mean, you don't expect any kid to stay in a cyber school for 12 years. I mean, maybe some of them do, but for extended periods of time.
People are kind of going in and out of it
depending
on their situation. Yeah,
they're going in and out depending on their situation. Do you expect them to have the same kinds of numbers, you know, achievement-wise as other schools? But, you know, I don't know that anyone is being very serious about really evaluating what value they're adding and who they're benefiting and how well kids are learning in these schools. And yet they are huge burdens on school districts. I mean, Philadelphia is paying like $60 million to cyber schools. They have no control over whether kids sign up or not.
I mean, the school district, of course, then doesn't have to pay to educate that child. I guess the question is just, is the money that they're sending to that cyber really needed for that cyber education? That seems to be the point. And they say, well, yes, it is. And Wolf seems to be saying, well, no, it's not.
Back in 2012, the Auditor General, Jack Wagner, did a study that compared cyber spending in Pennsylvania to patterns nationally. And he found that they were spending $100 million more in Pennsylvania on cybers than the national average spending rate.
Just to Dale's point earlier about, you know, the people who are actually choosing these schools and the reasons behind them, let's hear one more time from someone at 21st Century Cyber. This is Kylene Ball. She's the director of education there.
Our students shouldn't be seen as, you know, second-class citizens in the funding model. And that's what this feels like. I wish people could see the need that there is for this. There is a need for this. These kids are coming to us because something hasn't worked for them in their brick and mortar or in their other charter school, and they need another option. And we're saving kids. We are saving them to allow them to graduate.
There's a pretty compelling testament to the education that she's saying is happening at 21st Century Cyber. What was going through your head when you were hearing that, Paul?
What was going through my head, I guess, is the numbers I was just looking at, that the Wolf proposal cuts cyber spending by about 38%. So it's a pretty deep cut. And, you know, not surprising that there's some pushback from the cybers on this.
And I think it probably affects some cybers more than others. But it still makes much more sense to essentially pay cyber charters that draw statewide the same amount of money for each kid than try to, you know, than just have this arbitrary system where it just depends on where they come from. Because it's much harder for the cybers to make the argument that they should get this varied per pupil amount. Let them come up with a reasonable figure or something.
Right. Yeah, the standard amount makes sense. The
cost that makes certain,
shouldn't
makes a lot
vary
more sense.
That much from one part of the state to another, right?
You would think, but, you know, the regional job market, right, is going to dictate what the teacher salaries are, and that's probably what they're spending the most money on.
True.
So it seems like, you know, Wolf is taking a stab at reforming this thing, but he's looking at kind of a different shade of an apple as opposed to an apple-to-apple comparison, right? And there's no real agreement on either side what it actually cost to do this. The 21st century, they'll tell you we spend $10,000 on average per kid, and that's how much it costs. So if we have to go down to $5,900, that's really hurting us. And then she's saying, perversely, that means we have to advertise more because we need more kids, and we have to make our teacher caseloads go up. And I guess the other argument for advertising is, you know, a traditional public school, you see the school in your neighborhood, there it is, that's where you send your kid. A cyber, it's up in the cloud somewhere, and how else would a family know about it, right?
Right, and I should disclose that the public school notebook sells advertising as one of the ways we keep going as a nonprofit news organization, and cyber charters are among our advertisers.
Among the top advertisers, would you say?
They're maybe our third biggest group of advertisers.
Okay. Academically speaking, though, 21st century is actually at the top of the list if you look at SPP scores. But they're the only one who's near the 70 mark, which is kind of considered the threshold for high performance. But the other schools are well below that. What's happening academically in these schools?
I think it's very hard to tell. You know, as I said, I think families choose cyber schools for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, your traditional homeschooling family who sees it as an opportunity to get a computer and a teacher that they can regularly interface with versus somebody who pulls a kid out of a local district because their kid's been bullied and maybe can't really supervise the kid's learning when they're at home. You know, so I think it's widely varied. And I don't know that anyone's done a lot of really deep studying of who it is that uses the cyber schools and why, how long they stay. I haven't seen any major research study on that. I don't know whether there's any that exists.
I think there was a kind of indirect acknowledgement of that we don't know enough about these over the last several years, that there have continued to be applications from startup cybers, and Pennsylvania has shot those down for the last several years. So it's been 3 years, 4 years since,
yeah, since they've approved another cyber school.
Cyber has been approved.
It is worth mentioning something I found kind of interesting is that, you know, those who often rail against the quote unquote failing schools in the traditional district sector tend to be much more forgiving in their tone when they discuss the academic shortcomings of cyber education. Steve Miskin is one of those folks. He's the spokesman for Republican leaders in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives.
But where were those students before? You know, what was their performance prior to going to the cybers? Not all, but some students that go into cybers don't work well in the regular school environment.
What do you think about that tone?
I don't recall whether I've heard Steve Miskin be a defender of a no excuses kind of philosophy, but that certainly doesn't fit there.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wondered the same thing. I mean, the standards that have been applied to brick-and-mortar schools in low-performing school districts are just not part of the cyber equation. And, you know, I think that where they're willing, like Steve Miskin did just there, to say, well, they're accepting a group of kids who weren't doing well in their prior district, so kind of a break. But that's not what they say about Philadelphia or Chester or any of these other school districts where, you know, they have high concentration of kids, you know, who live in poverty and who have other issues that make them more challenging to educate. So it's interesting that is the case.
And with that, we'll conclude this episode of Multiple Choices. Paul Sokolar, editor and publisher of the Public School Notebook, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Kevin.
As well as you, Dale Mezzacapa, contributing editor.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.